Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Before we sat down with our next guest, she sent over a Google Doc titled Autism Language Guide. It starts, quote, "In an effort to help you better understand autism, I've created this handy guide. This will help our interview go smoothly and prevent me from having to gently correct you."
My name is Lauren Ober. I am the host of the podcast, The Loudest Girl in the World.
Now, Lauren is an award-winning radio producer and host of The Big Listen from WAMU and NPR. It's described as the broadcast about podcasts. Intelligent and irreverent, Lauren is an investigative journalist and a compelling audio storyteller. But even while enjoying professional success, she'd struggled in surprising ways, both large and small. Then, during the pandemic, at the age of 42, Lauren gained insight into why, when she learned she's autistic. The Loudest Girl in the World podcast chronicles her experience. Lauren, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway.
Oh gosh, sorry. Thank you so much for inviting me. See, I'm already proving that I'm the loudest girl in the world because I just interrupted you during the intro. Sorry.
I step on every person, the back end of their sentences, the front ends of it. But talk to me, who is the loudest girl in the world?
Well, I have said that it's me, although I will say that after putting out this show, I've heard from a lot of other people who said, I thought I was. But, you know, basically, I've always been a loud talker. I've always been very loquacious. I can't stop talking. It's almost like a compulsion. And I always sort of wondered why that was, because I was always in trouble. School, jobs, relationships, you name it. Like, my mouth was constantly getting me in trouble, and I didn't ever seem to learn my lesson. In the pandemic, I sort of came to find out why that was.
And why was it?
Did you like my cliffhanger?
Why is it? That's why I was like, I'm trying to figure out, like, is it an is or is it a was? So
it's a both. You know, I'm making light of it a little bit here, but it was actually, you know, a long journey of a lot of struggles in my life that kind of led me to think, along with my therapist, that I might be autistic. And I had thought about it for a while, but as we do, we kind of put things on back burners when they don't seem pressing. And then, you know, and then the pandemic happened, and everything that I felt was holding me up, my life scaffolding, kind of fell apart. My routine, you know, a place to go to work. And I didn't realize how important those things were until they fell away. And obviously, a lot of people have experienced a similar situation in the pandemic where, you know, it caused them to reevaluate a lot in their life. And for me, I think it made this sort of the idea, the background idea of autism really come to the foreground.
I want to take a listen to a clip from the show where you give us a little bit of this in the first episode.
I've always had troubles at work and difficulty with bosses telling me what to do. I am famously finicky, and the list of foods I won't eat, ranging from arugula to zucchini, is comically long. I often don't want to be touched, and sometimes I involuntarily recoil when touched, which is a great look on dates. My ears are highly sensitive to all kinds of normal sounds, like headphone bleed and people biting their nails. I can't seem to get a system in place to regularly put away my laundry. I have nuclear-grade meltdowns that make me not want to exist. I don't miss people when they go away, but I want to. I compulsively pull out my hair and have for 30 years.
So that sort of inventory is the kind of list that, you know, might have been just, you know, told, oh, you're kind of weird or odd or quirky, or maybe, you know, if we had good parents, might have said things like, that's what makes you special, dear. For you, when did it occur to you, or who introduced you the real possibility that you might be autistic?
When you lay it out like that, when you collect the inventory, you're like, oh, right, this makes total sense. But taken sort of individually, it does just make you think that you're weird, right? All these collection of eccentric traits or something. But, you know, I think as a fairly literate person, as a person interested in media and television and movies, I mean, of course, I've seen autism portrayed, and I know about autism, and my partner has an autistic child, and so it was not unfamiliar to me, but I think that it was about sort of collecting all of the pieces and putting them together into sort of some type of abstract vision that made sense, kind of. You know, but autism is hard because it is a collection of traits, and there's not a pathology. You can't cut somebody open and see their autism. And so it's pretty tough to ascertain if you have a more subtle presentation, which I do.
What difference does it make to have the word, to be able to identify yourself, to have the identity, not just the word, but the identity? Oh, I'm an autistic person.
Yeah, you know, my friends asked me that when I told them, you know, that I was thinking about getting a diagnosis, because they were like, what does it matter? Like, your life is fine. And I'm like, well, what do you know about my life? You know, but I'm middle-aged. I've done okay in my life so far. What does a diagnosis do for me? And I think what it does is it sort of quiets a lot of the negative self-talk, and even worse, a sort of ingrained badness that I've felt through, you know, from schools and jobs and places where I've, you know, messed up or did something wrong or something like that. And it kind of gives you a word to erase the other words that have been applied to you. So does it have to be a part of my identity as such in an explicit way? No, but it's a way for me to understand how my brain works. And I think that's really of great value.
Let's take a listen to another piece from the podcast where you talk specifically about the pandemic as a catalyst.
But then the pandemic happened, and my dog died, and I lost my job. And nearly every structure that was propping up my life seemed to fall away. It felt like I had been treading water for so long, and then someone took away my floaties. I started to drown. And while I was submerged, the atonal chorus inside my head became deafening. Figuring out my life, my brain, took on an urgent quality. I just needed to understand. And I needed to know that I wasn't bad.
I needed to know that I wasn't bad. Can you say a bit more?
Sure. I mean, you know, look, when I was a kid, I was always in trouble in school. I wasn't a bad kid, but I talked all the time. My desk was next to the teachers or at the back of the classroom. One time my desk was out in the hall, which I'm not sure how you learn when your desk is out in the hall. But, you know, I kept coming back to, in my own therapy as an adult, this event where I was not only put in the back of the classroom, my desk was in the back, but there was a cardboard partition put around it, kind of like the size of a refrigerator box.
What?
So I couldn't see my classmates and I couldn't see the teacher. And it was very poignant for me, and it stuck in my mind because I had dressed up for Halloween that year as Pippi Longstocking, and this partition went up just around the Halloween party. So, you know, it was like you were hidden from all of your classmates. Your classmates couldn't engage with you. You couldn't engage with them. And it was like, we need to stow this person away. We need to hide them. And there's a lot of shame in that. And I think that a lot of autistic people have been punished in a lot of terrible ways over the years. And the shame that they feel from punishment or just the world not understanding. It's very difficult to move through a neurotypical world that is not built for you socially, sensorially, if that's even a word, and not have some trouble. So I just think that I needed a word or a way to tell myself, like proof that I wasn't bad. And it seems almost embarrassing or weird to admit, you know, when you're middle-aged and from the outside you're doing fine, but it does feel sort of every day when you screw up or you do something weird or you do something that upsets someone and you didn't even know that it would upset them, that like, oh, well, you're bad, you know?
For those who are listeners to the podcast, what are you hoping they're going to take from it?
Well, look, everyone's got a sack of rocks, right? We've all got something that we're toting around, that we're carrying, that and that helps us become more empathetic people. And what I would hope is that people who would listen don't think, oh, well, this is an autistic show and this is what autism is. It's like, no, this is one person's experience understanding themselves better and trying to get the world to understand them. You know, and I have a privilege and a platform to be able to do that, but there, in a million small ways, that's happening every day. And we should be supporting people trying to get their needs met and trying to be accommodated, and more than accommodated, embraced and cherished. And that is what I would hope that people would come away from the show understanding, is that, like, it doesn't really take a lot to get it, to be that person who gets it.
Lauren Ober is host of The Loudest Girl in the World. It's a podcast. Check it out. Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. What a pleasure.